Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
The fallout continues from the Patriots. They got the duck boats are getting ready. They got the duck boats getting 11 in the morning in Boston. They'll be parading around. Yeah, those duck boats have been used so much by the Red Sox, Patriots, Bruins, and Celtics the last 20 years. They got to buy new duck boats. Those boats are worn out. They got to find new boats.
That's my duck.
Every couple of months they got one of these parades. Well, so the experts continuing to unpack, dissect, however you want to describe it, the Patriots win over the Rams in Super Bowl 53. Since we're not experts, we're not part of the mainstream, we don't necessarily have to do that. But something did catch my attention that we did not mention. I didn't see this in our post-Super Bowl show. And many people very upset with the commentary of the boy named Sue. Did you hear what the boy named Sue had to say? Maybe not. Maybe you missed it. The longtime menace of NFL quarterbacks, the monster in the middle, Frankenstein. He's been called all these things. He does not believe the hype around Julian Edelman, your Super Bowl MVP. In fact, Ndamukong Suh, in his mind, the Rams took Julian Edelman out of the game and held him in check. The quote, just imagine that I am the boy named Sue. Here's what he said. Now, I can't be him because he blocked me on Twitter. Because even though he's a big, mean football player, he doesn't like talk radio hosts on Twitter. He can't handle that. He can handle NFL players. He just can't handle, you know, yours truly. Anyway, here's the quote from Ndamukong Suh. He said he, meaning Edelman, is an elite player, plays hard, found some holes in our defense in the first half and pretty much the third quarter. As Sue expanded on his answer, he then went on to say, in my opinion, this is Ndamukong Suh's opinion, just thinking back, we eliminated him even though he got yardages. I think he meant yardage. We just have to not allow points to get on the board and give our offense more opportunities to score. All right, let's discuss. Now, some people who I work with, some people I used to work with, seem to think that the Rams defense, they lost this Super Bowl because of Julian Edelman. Now, the question, we're going to frame it this way. Do you agree or disagree with the general point that Ndamukong Suh was making? Now, I am absolutely going to agree with Ndamukong Suh. He's not wrong with his statement. In fact, it really shows you those that actually paid attention to the Super Bowl and those that didn't pay attention to the Super Bowl based on the people that have their opinions on Ndamukong Suh. Now, I agree with it. Now, my thoughts here, you've got indisputable Boy Scout and Mark Twain. Very few people in sports radio will mix in a Mark Twain reference. Very few people will do that, but I occasionally will. My dad, a big Mark Twain fan, by the way, back in the day. Anyway, all right, let's tie all this together. Now, first of all, when you look at this story and these comments by Sue, he seems like a crackpot. I'm not going to fight you on that Ndamukong Suh, to say that the MVP of the Super Bowl was eliminated, you know, why would you say that? The Frankenstein bad boy of the NFL running his mouth yet again, fight his ass, right? That's what some people are saying. I mean, Edelman had he had 10 catches, 141 yards, a partridge in a pear tree, consistently picking up key first downs for New England. And for the low-information fan that was imbibing alcohol and party drugs during the Super Bowl, this seems like a no-brainer. You can't really argue with the success of Edelman. In fact, many in the mainstream media rhapsodizing, canonizing, and fawning all over Edelman's success in the Super Bowl as the central figure to them being the Patriots, winning the championship. And yet, pretty confident that the main job of the defense is to keep the other team from, you know, scoring. And for 53 minutes of this particular Super Bowl, New England had a whopping total of 3 points. It was boring, and it was dead even. Mano a mano. Rams-Patriots tied at 3 with 7 minutes to go. So for 53 minutes, they were right there. It was truly a bend-but-don't-break approach by Wade Phillips and the Rams defense. Patriots were able to move the ball from their own territory down to around the Ram 45-40-yard line, and sometimes even further, but they very rarely got only one time into the red zone, which matters. And so you look at it from that perspective, you say, well, the Rams defense certainly gave the offense every opportunity to win the game. That is indisputable. And I continue to double, triple down on my position that Jared Goff happened to perform like an itty-bitty little spider. He got smashed by the Patriots. He couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle it. He choked. Garbage is how Jared Goff played. Now, that's not Ndamukong Suh's responsibility. And Sue makes a lot of money. He's made a ton of money from football standards, but that's beyond his pay grade. Now, secondly, Julian Edelman, you know how many catches he had in the first three quarters of the game? He had 9 catches for 128 yards the first three quarters. And those are really good numbers. Those are really good numbers. 9 catches for 128 yards. However, that led to 1 converted field goal for New England. So when you peel back the onion, you say, well, he had 9 catches for 128 yards, and the Patriots did not monetize and capitalize on those catches for points. And so that is what the whimsical Ram defensive tackle is saying here. Edelman is going to get his opportunities to catch the football. He's going to find seams in the defense. He certainly did that. You can't completely stop Julian Edelman. Regardless, in the fourth quarter, again, when the game was decided, you know how many catches Edelman had? Well, if you're good at math, you know. He had 1 catch for 13 yards in the fourth quarter. So Ndamukong Suh's not wrong. You can rip him for being dirty and a foul player, but in this particular case, the Rams' defensive star is not incorrect. 1 catch for Edelman in the fourth quarter for 13 yards. That's it. That's all. Finito. Done. And so when the Patriots turned a 3-3 game into a 13-3 win over Los Angeles, Edelman was not a central figure. Rob Gronkowski was. Had 47 yards receiving in the fourth quarter. Had a 29-yard pass, little floating pass, which set up Sony Michel for 40, he had 43 yards as well, but it set Sony Michel up for the touchdown. Those were the guys in the fourth quarter with an even game that were directly responsible for the New England Patriots winning their 6th championship in this particular run. It was a prodigious defensive performance to hold the Patriots to only 13 points in this particular game. The bigger upset was that the very temperamental Ndamukong Suh did not get some kind of a penalty worthy of being kicked out for smashing Tom Brady's head in. Didn't happen. He was on, by his standards, his best behavior. He was like a Boy Scout out there doing his thing. Now, the last point here. Now, Julian Edelman will forever be known as a Super Bowl MVP. He will go on someday when he's done playing the rubber chicken circuit. He'll be in the Patriots Hall of Fame. He might even end up in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And they'll go on and on about Edelman winning the Super Bowl MVP. But again, his numbers did not directly lead to any more than 3 points. That's it. And so you put that in the same category, you know, stat-stuffing bonanza. We've often ranted and railed against Russell Westbrook, for example, and his stat-stuffing. And, you know, the uneducated basketball fan, they celebrate Russell Westbrook's stat-stuffing. They go on and on about that. But you cannot use common sense with the irrational fanatic. You can't. It's that famous quote by Mark Twain, which he is credited with. And there's a lot of famous quotes from Mark Twain, but the one that really applies to this is, do not wrestle with pigs, because you're going to get filthy. The pigs are going to get filthy, but the pigs are going to like it. All right? So when you challenge someone on, hey, you don't know what you're talking about, and they only scored 3 points when Edelman had all those catches, people go nuts. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Screw you. You suck. Anyway, it is the Ben Maller Show on Fox as we press on. And I haven't seen him, but I hear he is back. We say hello to Edmund Dallas. I'm not Wreck-It Ralph, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Charger season ticket holder, Steeler fan, Garcia.
Yes, I am here. Hello.
Did I get all that? I think I got all that.
Pretty much.
I mixed it all together.
I heard yesterday was a caller-free show. Is that accurate?
It was a gift, Eddie. Tremendously popular with the... I might even do it again, Eddie. Yes.
The people loved it, huh?
Critically acclaimed. Hmm. They said the callers are the worst part of the show.
Night after the Super Bowl, the fans were happy not to call in and react.
No, you know, they're hungover. They're a bunch of alcoholics and you know,
well, that might be
a bunch
true.
Of drug addicts. They're not... They don't focus on calling in. I really helped them out. I gave them salt of the earth radio is what I did, Eddie.
It's very big of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great. It was wonderful. You know, just a couple guys shooting the breeze.
I'm sure Coop loved it.
Solid?
Yeah.
Yeah, Coop liked it a lot. He did. It was very enjoyable.
And you think we're going to do that again tonight?
We might. I mean, I'm thinking about it. I don't know. I mean, I took some calls. I did the show earlier in Boston.
How did that go?
Oh, they really liked me. Boy, they loved me, man. They loved that I picked the Rams to win the Super Bowl. And they didn't remind me. One thing about the people that listen to that station in Boston, they don't remind you.
Really?
They do
that
not remind you.
That surprises me.
Water off a duck's back.
Wow.
Water off a duck's back,
that?
Eddie. They don't let it stick to them at all.
Boy, you continue to be surprised. How about that in this life?
How about this? I'm not going to solicit phone
calls. Wait a minute. Did you take calls on the others? You did?
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely. I'm not going to hide. I don't hide from anybody.
What I did
was a gift. What I did, Eddie, was a gift.
You're Santa Claus.
That's Santa Mallard. Damn right. Absolutely. Right? And you know, these dimwits, you didn't give me any time. Oh, my God. They can't comprehend that was a gift, what I did.
So no blind Scott yesterday.
No blind Scott. Hmm. No Blair in Maine. No Whoopie Pie Blair in Maine. That didn't happen. None of them. Yeah. So what I'm going to do here, Eddie, is I'm not going to do a caller-free show, but I'm not going to give out the number. So if people know the number, they can call in. I'm sure no one knows the number. I never give the number out. Remember that guy in Mississippi, from Mississippi, who lives in Florida?
He never called because you gave the number too quickly.
Yeah. So rather than give the number too quickly, I just won't give the number. So no one will call. But if you call, I'm not going to hide. I'm right here. I'll take some phone calls. But we have so much great content, Eddie. So much amazing. Yes.
Well, that's good to know.
It's amazing. There's no need for animosity. There's no need for bad blood here or bitterness. This is going to be tremendous. I mean, we'll line them up if you want. But I mean,
you're stupid.
Oh, really? Yeah. Blair's calling even more radio shows now. Our friend.
How can he fit this all into his busy schedule?
Our friend Funhouse pointed this out. I said this yesterday. We weren't here, but he's now calling the weekend overnight guy at WFAN. And he had one of the great lines. He called up before the Super Bowl, and he talked about Ndamukong Suh, and he thought his last name was Shrimp. He called him Shrimp.
Hmm.
Which is...
That's interesting.
I think Sue eats a lot of shrimp. I don't know. He doesn't seem like a big seafood eater to me, but maybe he does. I don't know. I have no idea.
Are you serious about that?
I'm not. Yeah, I heard Funhouse put the audio up. Back after this, put it up on social media. I saw it. Yeah. Absolutely correct.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Now, we're not taking calls. What I mean by that is I'm not giving out the number. But if people call up, they're free to talk. They're free to talk. We still talk about the Super Bowl. I'm not hiding. I'm right here. I'm a man. I'm 40-something. Look at me, right? I'm right here. There I am. Come and find me. I can hide it all. But now that the Super Bowl is over, there is other stuff to talk about other than just the Rams and the Patriots. The Dolphins and Bengals. We don't spend enough time talking about the Dolphins and the Bengals, said no one on God's green earth. But they have new coaches. It was old news, but it's new again because it has now happened pen to paper. Very excited. Tell me you're not excited. I know you're excited. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. You're excited. The New England Patriots linebacker coach, the de facto defensive coordinator, in theory, Brian Flores, takes over in Miami, and he'll be hanging out with Weedman Hippie and the former L.A. Ram quarterback coach. He did such a great job getting Jared Goff ready in the Super Bowl that Zach Taylor gets the gig in Cincinnati. So congratulations. Knock yourself out. So 8 coaching jobs at the beginning, and they're all full. Every one of those 8 coaching jobs at the start of NFL offseason shenanigans with the coaches has come to an end. And so here we sit. But let's talk about these 2 latest hires, Flores in Miami and Zach Taylor in Cincinnati. Toss-up question. Brian Flores or Zach Taylor, who has a better chance to succeed as an NFL coach? Now, keep in mind, the answer should be none of the above. The proper answer is none of the above. But when you do a toss-up question, you have to pick one of the 2 people. None of the above is not an option on the table. So between Zach Taylor and Brian Flores, I am going to take Zach Taylor. All right, I'm going to take Zach Taylor, and here's why. All right, my view, you've got the scenic, the checks and balances, and the boy band. And we will connect all of these things together like skyline chili in your stomach on a nice, cool evening in Cincinnati. Now, A, I couldn't pick Zach Taylor out of a police lineup. If you put Zach Taylor in front of me with a bunch of other people, they all look kind of the same. I don't know who the hell Zach Taylor is. I have no idea. I have no idea. He's some hotshot 35-year-old who happened to have Sean McVay give his blessing, and he ended up getting the head coaching job in Cincinnati. I didn't even know he was on the Rams staff, and I follow the Rams. And so Sean McVay, you know, he did the heavy lifting. We talked about this when the reports came out a couple of weeks ago. McVay does the heavy lifting for the LA offense, good, bad, or ugly. The same offense that saw Jared Goff stumble and bumble at the finish line, and that yellow on the Rams uniform was actually was not what you thought it was on Jared Goff's uniform. That was a public defecation, urination situation for Jared Goff. But this is about Zach Taylor. That same offense that the Rams ran and they scored a bunch of points will now, I assume, follow Zach Taylor to Cincinnati or a version of that offense. And to say that Zach Taylor is untested is an understatement. Now, that is not bad. Untested is not bad. Sean McVay was untested. He proved to be a very good NFL head coach and will be a head coach for probably the next 30 years if he wants in the NFL. And he had no experience. You give everyone the usual 30-day grace period before you kill them. That being said, Taylor has 1 month of NFL coordinating experience. He was with the Dolphins when they made a coaching change in 2015, so he took over there briefly, and now he's the head coach in Cincinnati. This is the trendy move. The trendy move is not always the right move. The Bengals believe that they found some kind of hocus pocus. They found some kind of magic. Good luck. And they are trusting that anyone that was within the presence of Sean McVay, anyone that was in that room, is going to end up being a successful coach. And, of course, we know that's not true, right? We look at the Belichick coaching tree. More on that in a minute. So why did I take Zach Taylor over Brian Flores? I would rather live in Miami than Cincinnati if I had to choose, but I picked the coach of the Bengals. Why is that? Real estate 101, location, location, location. Look at the AFC North. Look at the division. The top-rated schools in the area, right, are in the AFC North. The scenic views, the entertainment, the shopping, it's economically stable. There's low crime. More importantly, your competition, when you're the Bengals, the Browns, who played better last year, but they're still the Browns. They haven't done anything of note to prove that they're legit. The Ravens, who are trying to sell that sideshow gimmick offense with Lamar Jackson. The Steelers, who have dysfunction and an aging Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback. There is an opportunity. There is a path for the Bengals and for this guy I've never heard of, Zach Taylor. It could be a fluke, right? But there's a path there in the division. It's not a total dead-end street there, assuming that he didn't hornswoggle the Bengals. He doesn't know what he's doing, and he has an opportunity to go in there and have success. Now, part B of this, the reports out of Miami indicate that the Dolphins, they are planning to demo their roster. Now, their roster wasn't very good last year, but now they are going to take a couple of sticks of dynamite and a match and kaboom to the Dolphins. And they're trying to mimic what the Browns have done in recent years, what the Cardinals have done, and suck for the number one pick in the draft. That's if you buy the hype, the scuttlebutt coming out around the Dolphins, trying to get that next franchise quarterback. So how can you bet on Brian Flores to succeed if the mission statement of ownership is to lose games? It makes no sense. But here is Brian Flores in his own words. I hear he has a voice. I've not ever heard his voice before, but he's the former Patriot linebacker coach, your new head coach in Miami, 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 and it's all about culture club, apparently, for the Dolphins.
Everyone tries to improve every day.
Really?
You take it one day at a time.
Oh,
and there
good.
Is a selflessness and a put-the-team-first attitude that you got to have. And that goes from the owner to the general manager to the head coach to the people who clean up at nighttime. And if you can get everybody to buy into that, then good things will happen. I believe that.
Wow. Does he have an original thought, or is it all cliches? Is it all – it's all cliches? No original thought? All right. Now, I've done this bit before. I guess we should do it again. We have one more soundbite of Brian Flores. Now, there's a couple things you're supposed to do when you get introduced as a new coach. You talk about how excited you are. Right? What a great opportunity this is. Your family's excited about it. This is a dream come true. You also then butter up the fan base. You talk about how great the fans are, what a great organization it is, how you're really excited and you want to turn things around and you're the perfect guy. This is a great chance for you and get back to that old winning tradition the franchise had back in the day. Let's see if Brian Flores talked about any of those things. Let's find out right now.
This is a hard place to play, that's for sure. I would say that my last memory here wasn't a great one. But, you know, the teams here, they've always been tough. They've always been well coached. I think they got a good group. I think they got great ownership. I think they've got a lot of things in place here. I think the future's bright.
The future is bright. Said no one ever. Well, we can guarantee you that Miami will be in the Super Bowl next year. They're hosting the game. They're hosting the game in the Super Bowl. They'll be in the Super Bowl. They're hosting the game. They won't be playing it. All right. Listen, it's hard to bet on any Belichick disciple because generally it turns out to be a poop fest when they go to these new teams. Belichick has built a very unique environment in New England. There's accountability, there's responsibility, individual responsibility, all of those buzzwords that Flores was talking about in cliches, and none of that exists with the Miami Dolphins. So the players in New England, there's an expectation. It's not like a vaudeville comedy act, which is what they've had at times with the Miami Dolphins. Shout out. Who was the assistant coach? Was it Forrester? Remember the guy that was doing coke before he went into a coach's meeting? That's Dolphin football right there, baby. That's do a little line of coke and tell your stripper girlfriend how hot she is and then move on and go to a meeting. Can't believe the Dolphins weren't successful. Adam Gase is a really good picker of coaching talent, the new Jets coach in Miami when he had that guy. Yeah, good job by him, and a lot of scandal around the Dolphins and all that. Way to go. Way to go. And also the Patriots have this guy named Tom Brady, and the Dolphins, I don't even know who their quarterback's going to be going forward. And it is true. Listen, they play in a very nice division with the Jets and Bills, but they have the Patriots in their division. And Bill Belichick could coach for another 5-10 years. Who knows? He can coach into his late 70s. And so as long as that's the case, Miami is going to continue to be a dilapidated, run-down part of the NFL. Wrong side of the tracks. No public transportation compared to the other NFL cities. And, I just don't trust Belichick assistants. When Bill O'Brien, who's a very mediocre coach, is your gold standard for success, that doesn't move the needle for me. And that's the Belichick coaching tree. Now, the last thing on this. If you posted odds on the coaching hires working out in the NFL, just these two, right? Which one's going to more likely work out? I'm going to say by 2022, it is more likely that both the Bengals and Dolphins have new coaches, that these guys won't make it to year four in their respective destinations or locations, rather. But I had to pick somebody, so I picked Zach Taylor based on the fact I think that's an easier path. You're not in the same division with the Patriots. And also, Brian Flores is a defensive guy, and I know it's hip now. People react to whatever they just saw, and the Patriots won with their defense, or really the incompetence of Jared Goff in the Super Bowl, and so that worked out. So now people overreact and move to that side of the aisle. But no, again, offense is still ultimately where it's at in the NFL. So Flores is a contrarian hire. He's not the offensive guru. We'll see how it all works out. He's also not that old. He's 37 years old. I guess compared to some of these other coaches, he's very young. Or very old, rather. Very old. All right, we say hello to Edmund Dallas Steamboat Willie Judas Solid Gold Garcia. Right over there.
Now, I was not here yesterday.
You were not? I thought you were here. I did the whole show. I was bouncing off you. We were going back and forth. Well, it was wonderful.
No, I was not here yesterday.
You were not.
So I'm going through the Twitter there and getting caught up on things. And a lot of people continue to ask, and I assume because now the football season is over, there's more time for other things, I guess.
Yeah.
The Benny's Caller of the Year, those types of things.
Well, the first thing we have to do, and I'm glad you brought that up, the first thing we have to do is the NFL book 'em, because it is now the offseason. The Super Bowl has ended now. And so we must have the NFL book them. It is a rest season in the NFL. These guys are on their own. And again, we don't want anyone to be arrested. We think that is wrong. We do this hoping, we pray every year that no one will be arrested, Eddie. The goal
it's prevention is what we're trying to help out here. Yeah.
Yes, we're trying to make an example and say you guys don't get arrested because we'll highlight that. And we've already had a guy on the Lions arrested, right? Didn't he got into a dust up in New York and was involved with the
Super Bowl party or
no, this was before the Super Bowl. Linebacker for the Lions. Now keep in mind we changed this last year. This is retroactive, right? We do include arrests that have taken place here before the book'em starts during the end of the regular season going forward. That's the Shady McCoy rule, which did not work out for me. I picked Shady, remember that Shady McCoy scandal?
Of course.
The woman had the photos, and apparently she had beaten to a pulp. This woman, just horrific to look at, and everyone said it was Shady McCoy. It was Shady McCoy that did it. He's the bad guy, or he paid the person to do it. Nothing happened, Eddie. That is one of the more amazing stories of the last 365 days. That nothing came of that, right? Did I miss something?
No, you did not.
Yeah, like it seemed. All the indicators were Shady McCoy is going to be arrested. He never got arrested.
Whatever happened to that story?
Did the woman, like, she didn't make it up, did she? I mean, I would hate to think that she would make that up, but what was that all about?
It's crazy, man.
That is crazy. But I'm just using, that's the Shady McCoy rule, and it didn't work out for me. But if, for example, if the Lions are the first pick, you get credit for that. Maybe that'll be the only arrest of the offseason, that linebacker for the Lions. So will we do the book'em on Thursday? Do we do the book'em on Thursday? Do we push it back maybe over the weekend, promote it more, do it early next week, maybe in our Sunday into Monday show? We'll have to work out.
These are all big decisions.
Yeah, these are big decisions. Yeah. And as far as the Bennies are concerned, we have to start the voting process, but we try to time it up, Eddie, with the award season in Hollywood, because that's how we roll, right? That's how we roll.
Well, we got the Grammys coming up here.
I don't care about the Grammys. It's all about the Oscars for us, the Academy Award that are handed out. That's what matters. And so the 2019 Oscars. Now, when is the ceremony? Do we know? It's February 24th. That's
coming
up.
Well, fortunately, we have a former star actor on our staff who I'm sure can let us know when that is.
Well, it's September 20, or not September, September. That'd be something if it was September. It's February 24th. So why don't we
be here before you know it.
Yeah, we better start putting stuff on Twitter, Cupola. We got to plan that out. We have so many categories. We have great contributors online. This has been such a big part of our show on Twitter and Facebook. Caller of the Year, the most coveted award. We have some other best in show prizes that we give out for great contributors.
You want to do it same day?
I was thinking maybe the same day. Yeah, I'm thinking we can kind of piggyback off and ride the coattails of the Academy Awards. I would say ours is much more important for greatness in talk radio. I think this is much more important, right? Forget the Academy of Motion Pictures, Motion Picture Arts and all that. This is much more important.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, so we'll look at our calendars and that in just a few weeks. just a few weeks, and some of the voting will likely start next week. By the end of next week, some of the online voting will take place. Will Real Talk continue as the caller of the year?
No! No!
He was the first runner-up last year, and as the first runner-up, when Weedman Hippie was forced to void his caller of the year status, it then went to the first runner-up, and that was Real Talk, and so Real Talk carried the title.
Boom, 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 boom! I'm a moron!
For the rest of the year, and a lot of competition. There's a contingent saying that Whoopi Pie Blair is the caller of the year. He's the guy. Rah, rah, Whoopi Pie Blair. Some people think Chris in Houston for being a troublemaker.
You're stupid.
There's guys bringing up Blind Scott's name and saying he should be the guy. Then they're like, hey, wait a minute. What about our guys in Minnesota? One of those guys should be the caller. I mean, there's a lot of competition. Some of these dopes that hijack the game shows. Randy and Norman's picking up a lot of steam. Will Randy and Norman win a game?
I'm seeing a lot of he is the male version of Genie in Medford. That's a big statement.
And there's a Mexican.
Somehow I think Genie was more coherent.
Nah.
Shut up, Eddie.
Didn't say anything.
Genie was spotty. There were some moments where Genie was very similar.
Come on in, man.
To our friend Randy and Norman. But Randy's bouncier. He's bouncier back. You know, he's able to bouncier back. Are you listening, Randy? Bouncier, 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 bouncier.
I feel like the caller of the year race is it's already a lock.
It's a lock?
Yeah.
I'm not angry.
Not for him.
You said the same thing about the 2016 election, Coop, so be careful.
I don't recall saying that.
All right, I'm just saying. I mean, these things, it's a fluid situation.
Baby, you want to hang out with me? You better give me that good stuff.
Well, again, the Genie in Medford Caller of the Year Award for greatness on the Ben Maller Show. And, of course, we have Lifetime Achievement Awards to give out. Will Mark the Full Name Guy win one of those? There's a lot of very important things that will be decided on our February 24th into 25th show. So excited about that. My God, it's just marvelous.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
And the Koobaloo.
A report over the weekend suggested that the Steelers are considering using the transition tag on Le'Veon Bell, giving them the opportunity to match any deal that he's offered. Ben, could you actually see them doing this?
Well, it is very trendy now to transition in modern society. No, listen, the Steelers should move on. They ought to move on here. And Le'Veon Bell's better than what they have, but Le'Veon Bell showed he's crazy. You don't want to be in business with too many crazy guys. He's crazy enough to flush $14.5 million down the toilet by not playing last season. Money he'll never get back. Money that had his name on it. Money that is gone that could have been his. So if he's willing to do that, you should move on. And B, the Steelers have limited cap space. I think they've got around $19 million, which is not all that much when you have a 53-man roster. And they did have some success with James Conner. He fumbled a lot, but they had some success. And Le'Veon Bell was on jet skis hanging out with Weed Man in South Beach. So the transition tag for Le'Veon Bell would be about $14.5 million again. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, you're in this holding pattern with Le'Veon Bell. Move on. You didn't want to pay him a long-term contract. He didn't want the year-to-year, so let him go somewhere else and move on. Next.
Now, you've said that you think Antonio Brown will end up staying with the Steelers.
That is right. I'm the only one who's correct.
But you've also said that if he does leave, that the 49ers are one of your potential landing spots.
Correct. I've talked out of both sides of my mouth.
Well, it's being reported that Antonio Brown spent Super Bowl weekend with 49ers players.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God, Coop!
That's right, Ben. Are you still of the opinion that he's staying?
Yes! These guys all fraternize with each other, these NFL players. It means nothing. I'm not buying that the 49ers or any other team is going to meet the asking price of the Steelers. The Steelers would trade Antonio Brown, but you are going to have to give up the refrigerator, the television, the Wi-Fi connection, everything of value. You've got a proven star, a top three receiver in the NFL. You don't give away Antonio Brown for pennies on the dollar. I don't care how many games he missed and all that stuff. And number two, Antonio Brown showing some bipolar tendencies, right? One day he's flirting and canoodling with the 49ers. Then he's pandering to Steeler fans on Twitter. And you want me back? Do you miss me? I mean, he can't make his mind up. All right, so it depends which direction the wind blows, but ultimately, when this calms down, I say Antonio Brown is back in Pittsburgh. Next!
Now, according to at least one NBA insider, several teams were shocked that Kristaps Porzingis was available for trade, yep. And this has led many to think that the Knicks didn't get the best available offer. Ben, why do you think they didn't shop around?
The guy's injured! What, they couldn't believe the Mavericks, that Mark Cuban, Mr. Shark Tank, was dumb enough to trade for damaged goods. Who makes a trade for somebody that can't play? Mark Cuban. The Knicks are like, we found a sucker. This is great. We talked about it before, Coop. We'll see what the future holds for Porzingis. He missed 186 out of 296 games with the Knicks. 62% of the time the guy was hurt. The Knicks are better off getting rid of him. Porzingis, I like he's a character, the unicorn and all that, but he just didn't show up enough. He was injured all the time. All right, how do we do, Coopalo?
Benny passes it in.
That is a winner. Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Now, Maller's Mountain of Money.
Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
Do you have what it takes to get to the top? Probably not.
And it is the Alice Cooper edition of Maller's Mountain of Money. Let's welcome in our contestants right now. And who do we have? We have Eric in Portland, Maine. Hello, Eric.
Good morning, Ben. How you doing, my friend? What's up?
Look at you. You're trying to be nice now, Eric. See that? You're trying to butter my biscuits. I know what you're doing.
Right. Do you, though?
Yeah.
Do you, though?
Yeah.
Aren't you going to ask me what I do up here in Portland, Maine?
Well, you attack the Patriots, right? Isn't that what you do?
Yeah, exactly. I don't do very much. I call sports radio shows pretty much. But pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's an honor to speak to you. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. All right, hold on a sec. We have Eric there. I don't know. We could do three. We could do four. Oh, yeah. All right, let's do three then. We'll do three. Let's go. Tony in Portland, Maine. It's in all Portland, Maine. We're pretty much just doing a local show on the jab is what we're doing. What's going on, Tony?
Oh, not much. Going to work.
Yeah.
Still basking in the glow. Another Patriots Super Bowl.
Yeah. aren't you tired of it? Come on, Tony. Come on.
Not at all, man. I started watching in the 70s. I still get excited when they clinch a playoff spot, as silly as that might sound.
I know.
That's how I grew up.
I hear you. These kids today, they just don't get it.
What
kind of work do you do, Tony? I don't care about Eric, but I care about you. What kind of work do you do, Tony?
I'm a carpenter, man. I work with wood.
That's a man's job, right?
That's a man's job. Testosterone.
All right. Hold on a sec, Tony. Eric, you sniveling, whining loser, who would you like to partner up with, Eric?
I think Tony built my deck. Just to spite you, I'll take you, Ben.
No, come on, Eric. You're doing that.
Me and you, buddy, we got this.
Yeah, why don't you go call Stern or something like that? All right, hold on a sec. Tony, unfortunately, you don't get to play alongside me. Who would you like to partner up with, Tony?
I think Eddie.
You're ready to win.
Yeah, ready to lose.
We're going
to
take it.
I don't think so.
Eric's going to throw the game anyway.
He probably will. You're right.
All right, gentlemen.
That is correct.
This is the Alice Cooper edition of Maller's Mountain of Money. He is 71 years old now, just turned 71 yesterday. The categories are as follows: Dead Babies, School's Out.
That's not nice.
It's a song title. No More Mr. Nice Guy, and Poison. Eric, you were on the line first. Which category would you like?
I think Eric's real name is Alice.
I'll go with Poison, please.
Poison. Many of your phone calls have been compared to Poison. All right.
All right. And Tony, which category would you like?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear all the categories. I'm sorry. Dead Babies?
Dead Babies, School's Out, No More Mr. Nice Guy.
Oh, School's Out.
All right. School's Out. Those are the first two categories.
Very all nice. Right. Eric and Ben, you are up first. You have 45 seconds. I need the first and last name of the athletes. Poison, these athletes have all been considered poisonous to team chemistry. 45 seconds begin now.
All right, starting running back for the Steelers. He missed all of this past season. Correct. Small forward, formerly the Knicks. He's now a free agent, was traded to Oklahoma City. Small forward out of Syracuse.
Carmelo Anthony.
Correct. A wide receiver for the Eagles that played against the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Terrell Owens.
Correct. Outfielder for the Baltimore Orioles, the last named player on the
Manny
Orioles.
Machado.
No, he's got a generic name. Keeping up with the blank. Offensive lineman for the Dolphins. He got suspended by the NFL. Crazy offensive lineman.
Ricky Williams.
No. zero for the Washington Wizards. He's a great player a couple years ago in Washington with the Wizards. That's where he tanks. That's where the guy tanks. Eric, how dare you?
Well, you missed Adam Jones. I meant Adam Pac-Man Jones when I put the board together.
It didn't matter. I could have got that also.
Should have said Bengals. All right, go ahead.
That's
a bad job.
You wouldn't have gotten that.
You also missed Richie Incognito.
Everyone knows Richie Incognito. Guy's nutso.
You should have got that. And Gilbert Arenas was Agent
Zero. He was the most popular NBA player. He was on the cover of the video game back in his day.
That is true.
Good luck, Tony.
All right. He threw the
game.
Thank you. Let's go, Tony.
All right, Tony, you have schools out. These athletes all skipped college. 45 seconds on the clock. Ready, begin.
Former Lakers star, the Mamba.
Who else? Oh, the Mamba, that's Bryant. Kobe Bryant.
That's right. Legendary Orioles shortstop, major league record for consecutive games played.
Cal Ripken Jr.
Former NBA star, they called him the Big Ticket. Started off with the Timberwolves, won a title with the Celtics.
Kevin Garnett.
That's right. Fastest man alive from Jamaica.
I don't know that guy.
Okay. Former 76ers big man, played alongside Dr. J, biblical first name.
Moses Malone.
Yeah. Current Clipper, he's been the sixth man of the year a couple times.
Come on, Tony.
I couldn't hear you.
Okay. Current Clipper, he's been sixth man of the year in the NBA a couple times.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Devastating.
You missed Usain Bolt. And Lou Williams.
Wow.
That's 120 points, so that gives you the lead.
All right.
Eric and Ben,
come on, Eric.
You need to catch up
here. Here we go.
You can either have dead babies or no more Mr. Nice Guy.
No more Mr. Nice Guy,
All right, you're very good. Here we go.
All right, these athletes all demanded a trade. 45 seconds, ready, begin.
All right, he's the unibrow for the New Orleans Pelicans. Come on! Come on! He's with the Toronto Raptors. He used to be with San Antonio. He was forced to trade last year.
Kawhi Leonard.
That is correct. Center for the Lakers and Rockets back in the day. He's with the Wizards this year, but he's hurt. Pass. Former number one pick out of Oklahoma quarterback. Played with the St. Louis Rams first.
Ryan Leaf.
No! You suck!
He's a Jared Goff of games.
NBA player who punched P.J. Carlissimo and got suspended in the NBA back in the late 90s, early
2000s. Rewell.
Yeah, there you go. All right, that might be enough for the lead. Stephon. Oh, well, I can't say that. All right. Threw me off. I almost gave the guy.
He choked P.J. Carlissimo. But
Whatever. That is enough
for the lead. 160 points.
And I won the game at the buzzer!
No, bad clock management.
I won the game!
I didn't get a turn!